September 20th, 2022, VMLYNR for Zaljans, at ID PFXE012100, spot title, 60 Mornings Are Made for Better Things, 60 Second Radio, full mix.
Mornings were made for better things than rheumatoid arthritis or RA. Zeljanz tofacitinib is a pill for adults with moderate to severe RA when tumor necrosis factor blockers did not work well or could not be tolerated. Zeljanz can help relieve joint pain, swelling, and help stop further joint damage. Zeljanz can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Before and during treatment, your doctor should check for infections like TB and do blood tests. Serious, sometimes fatal infections, cancers including lymphoma and lung, blood clots, serious heart-related events, tears in the stomach or intestines, and allergic reactions have happened. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors have an increased risk of death. Tell your doctor if you've had hepatitis B or C, have flu-like symptoms, are prone to infections, or have ever had a heart attack, stroke, clot, or other heart problems, or swelling of lips, tongue, throat, or hives. Ask your doctor about prescription Zeljanz. Visit Zeljanz.com or call 1-844-ZELJANZ.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. Stream, chat, and connect at an incredible price. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Shake your device to learn more. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Basketball Association, the NBA. On this edition of the program, we have an international feel to the program. We have Gabriel Faria. Gabriel is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. The podcast covers the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers from a Brazilian perspective. We discuss what's currently happening with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, we discuss Donovan Mitchell, the outlook going forward for Cleveland in the Eastern Conference, the possibility of the Cavaliers making a run to play in the NBA Finals. We also discuss the popularity of NBA basketball in Brazil and much more. Gabriel is coming up on this edition of the program, and certainly it's a great interview. Want people to check it out to get an international feel, a Brazilian feel of how the NBA is, well, the continuing popularity of the NBA specifically in Brazil. So that's coming up, and plus we'll have the current league leaders and standings in the association. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with Ben Simmons. The potential was extremely high for Ben Simmons coming out of LSU. He only played 1 year at LSU, but the prospects were solid player that could get points in the paint and known for his defensive skills. Even though at times, according to the draft scouts, they said if he was aloof or drifted off at times, seemed a little spoiled. But nevertheless, they said that one thing about Ben, he was able to get points in the paint and known for his extremely talented defensive skills. So one and done at LSU, gets drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. The year he was drafted, missed the entire season due to suffering an injury in his wind-up having a broken foot. So therefore, the year he was drafted, didn't play. Rookie campaign, we finally get to see his rookie year, 2017-2018. Ben wins NBA Rookie of the Year, and he also earns NBA All-Rookie First Team. The following year, his first All-Star selection, the promise is there. We're finally starting to see what Ben Simmons is really all about. The following year, makes his first All-Star team. The following year, All-NBA and Defensive Selection team. Again, I said earlier, one of the best things about Ben Simmons in his game, getting points in the paint and also his extremely gifted defensive skills. the following year. We know about the debacle that happened in the playoffs. Ben Simmons, aggressive on the defensive side, but one thing that hurt his game at LSU and has currently hurt his game in the NBA is the inability to shoot. The inability to shoot, he never developed a jump shot or even developed expanding his range. And we saw that happen in that disappointing series against the Atlanta Hawks. He drew a lot of scrutiny for that. And, of course, with another downfall to his game, not just with developing a set shot, but also his free throw shooting, another thing that has hurt him throughout his career so far. And it hurt him in the playoff series just 2 seasons ago against the Atlanta Hawks. Following season, the mental health issues that he says he's having public spats with teammate Joel Embiid, him and head coach Doc Rivers are not getting along. So much problems are happening. He's holding out because of claims of wants a better contract. He feels that he's disrespectful. He felt like he was being disrespected. Again, as I mentioned earlier, him and Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers are at odds. And that was what began as a snowball, just avalanche, starting from the playoff series 2 seasons ago against the Atlanta Hawks, and then the issues with Embiid and Rivers, and then the mental health issues. Simmons was away from the team for a while, and because of him missing so many games, he became the most fined in NBA history. And then after the foolishness that went down with the Philadelphia 76ers, the trade happened February of last year, 2022. Simmons, along with Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, and 2 future first-round picks were traded to the Brooklyn Nets. And in return, Philly, of course, got Paul Millsap and All-Star James Harden. Well, the gift that keeps on giving, Ben Simmons, it continues to go from bad to worse. So after withstanding the foot injury and then having the debacle 2 seasons ago in Philly in the playoff series against the Hawks and then getting into spats with the head coach and his teammate, get traded, and it goes from bad to worse. Has the herniated disc in his back, ruled out for the remainder of the season, was not available in the play-in tournament. And then on top of that, when he made his he went on Twitter saying that he was planning to return, and all of this foolishness was going on with Ben Simmons. Goes on Twitter saying that he planned to make his season debut in the playoffs against the Boston Celtics. Well, Game 4, when they needed him the most, guess what? He didn't show up. Several weeks later, had back surgery. Then again, later in the year, well, the start of the 2022 season, this current season that we're in right now, had some, you know, okay games. Again, trying to find his way back. Guess what? Dealing with a knee issue again. Then later on in the year, as recent, he's dealing with back issues again. And now recently, Brooklyn Nets head coach Jacques Vaughn has just said that Ben Simmons will most likely not play the rest of the season. Coach Vaughn confirmed that the Nets would be shutting down Simmons due to a nerve issue in his back. In this current 2022-2023 NBA season, Simmons has career low averages in minutes, points, rebounds, assists, and free throw percentage. That is a lot. Listen, Ben Simmons coming out of LSU, as I stated before, player profile, a gentleman that is a great player, that can get points in the paint, and someone that is an astounding defender. But the 2 things that hurt him, number 1, free throws, and number 2, having limited range. And then we're seeing issues with the attitude, the issues that went on in Philadelphia, again, having the issues with Joel Embiid, Doc Rivers. And then on top of that, there's the injuries, the foot, knee soreness, and now they're shutting him down. The Brooklyn's going to be shutting him down for the remainder of the season. And we're also in the draft report, there were draft scouts had said that Ben has a tendency to, you know, have an attitude problem, feeling that he, you know, it's his way or the highway, and if he doesn't get his way, he's going to start pouting like a child. So I think for all intents and purposes, Ben Simmons sitting on the bench basically has done nothing the last two, you could say almost three seasons, and is still drawing a check. Ben Simmons has made over $35 million this year. Let me repeat that one more time. He has made over $35 million this year and played really next to nil. He really played really hardly, and he maybe played, I don't know, three or four games this year or something like that. And people were saying that when the whole trade happened with James Harden and Ben Simmons, people immediately said that Brooklyn won the trade. I was like, no, I think Philadelphia won the trade. And you can clearly see it right now by the way that they're playing with Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, also Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle, and then, of course, you have James Harden doing what James Harden does best in scoring points. Bottom line is this, Ben Simmons, I don't know what gives with him. As I stated earlier, Ben Simmons is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, we know about his mental health issues. I don't know. He hasn't been specific on what the mental health issues are. I don't know if it's dealing with the stress of being a professional athlete, being in the public eye. And we've seen that happen as recent as Ja Morant, but at least Ja has been forthcoming to an extent with what he's dealing with. Ben has just said he's had some mental health issues. He had to step away for a minute. We don't know specifically what's bringing on these mental health issues, if it's a childhood trauma or if it's, again, an issue may have happened with his parents or family members or just maybe the stresses of playing in the NBA. Well, for all intents and purposes, Ben Simmons, he's currently a three-time NBA All-Star. He's an NBA Rookie of the Year. He's been an All-Defense First Team twice. I don't know. I don't want to write him off too soon, but there's going to be a lot of talk within the next, not even the next decade, maybe in the next few years about what could have been. What could have been for Ben Simmons? What could have been if had he, the situation in Philadelphia, I mean, the championship hopes were extremely high in Philly. Him, Joel Embiid, all of the model of trusting the process, and let's just say they trusted the process and the process didn't work. Out goes Simmons, in comes James Harden. Simmons is dealt to Brooklyn, and not much has changed. It's gone from bad to worse. I don't know what to make of Ben Simmons, man, but one thing's for sure. Whoever's in his corner, whatever his mental health issues, wherever it's stemming from, or if somebody can hold him accountable or let him know, man, he's got to get it together. He's got to get it together. He doesn't want to end up as being wasted talent. Simple as that. We don't know specific what's bothering him, what's hampering his mental health, but, man, he's got to get it together. I know management in Brooklyn right now, the Nets are probably saying, wow, this is what we're getting in return. This is what we're getting. We're paying $35 million this year, his salary for this season, and this is what we're getting. Wow. I don't know what to make of this, man, but stay tuned because I guess they say Ben Simmons, as I stated before, the gift keeps on giving. My next storyline is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers. So we're in the beginning of April, and the Lakers had a great month of March. They finished the month of March with a record of 10-5, 10 wins, 5 losses. LeBron James made his return to the team and returning to action on March the 26th against the Chicago Bulls, losing by 10 points. However, the Lakers would finish the month of March winning their last two games, beating Chicago and Minnesota. And one person that has stepped up and continuing to step up and has just gotten better as we get closer to the play-in tournament, and that's Anthony Davis. Scoring, rebounding, defense, Anthony is doing that, and especially in the absence of a LeBron James. And people say LeBron is going to be the key to the Lakers going forward, possibly in the play-in tournament and maybe making a playoff run. That's true to a certain degree, but Anthony Davis is the X factor. Anthony Davis is the best defender on that team. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA, as I've stated before, and I'll say it again. When he's in, but we're seeing also Dennis Schroeder playing very well. And how about Austin Reeves? Austin Reeves there's someone that is emerging as one of the best bench players, or he's emerging as I should say, as one of the top bench players in the NBA, has the potential to be a possible sixth man in the future. D'Angelo Russell is playing well, coming back from injury. So the Lakers are really making that push to get a spot in the play-in tournament. It looks like it's going to become a reality with LeBron being out. It looked like it was a far-fetched dream. It looked like a reality that wasn't going to happen. But for the most part, Anthony Davis, he's been healthy as of late, and everything is starting to come together, as I mentioned earlier, with players like Schroeder and Reeves and Russell. Also, you could put Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley in the mix as well. So right now, the Lakers are looking to – everything is on the up and up for them right now. They're looking to punch their ticket into this year's play-in tournament. Let's stay tuned and find out what's going to happen with the purple and gold of the Los Angeles Lakers. And for my last storyline, it's going to be Julius Randle. Julius Randle has been the heart and soul of the New York Knicks since he's arrived there in the 2019-2020 NBA season. Julius Randle, one of the best big men in the league, not just in terms of getting rebounds and getting points in the paint, but he also causes matchup problems because his long-range shooting is awesome. He competed in the All-Star Game three-point shootout back in February in Salt Lake City. So when it comes to some of the best big men in the league that can have great long that have great long-range shooting skills, Nikola Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns, you could put Joel Embiid in the mix as well, and then there's Julius Randle. Well, Julius got hit with an obstacle during the week. The New York Knicks announced that Randle would be out for the remainder of the regular season due to a left ankle sprain, and that is big because it begins and ends with Julius Randle. We've seen the Knicks with their talent this year with Jalen Brunson, Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin, of course, Mitchell Robinson with the defense. But Julius Randle is the one that he's the one, as I stated before, causes the matchup problems because him being a big man and having those long range shooting skills. That's going to be huge because the Knicks are trying to get a higher seed in the Eastern Conference and do not want to fall down into a spot where they have to be in the play-in tournament. This is huge for Julius Randle because playing so well this year, making an all-star team, other players are going to have to step up. I know Jalen Brunson is definitely going to have to carry the load. Emmanuel Quickley is someone that's going to have to do his due diligence as well until Julius can get back, and hopefully the Knicks can continue going on the up and up and make that playoff run. All right, when we come back from the break, I have the current league leaders and standings in the association. You stay tuned. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. Stream, chat, and connect at an incredible price. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Shake your device to learn more. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Raising Cane's founder, Todd Graves, is an American success story.
Look at where we came from and look what we're doing.
And I'm just a baraka and cashier.
So he's tracking down game changers and visionaries to find out how they made it to the top.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
I got my first job at 15 years old. My mom didn't have enough money for homecoming.
Join him on his journey to find that secret sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E. Raising Cane's founder, Todd Graves, is interviewing game changers to find their secrets of success.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
Secret Sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Raising Cane's founder, Todd Graves, is an American success story.
Look where we came from and look what we're doing.
And I'm just a baraka and cashier.
So he's tracking down game changers and visionaries to find out how they made it to the top.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
I got my first job at 15 years old. My mom didn't have enough money for homecoming.
Join him on his journey to find that secret sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for the current league leaders and standings in the NBA. Let's start off with the current league leaders. In points per game, the leading scorer in the NBA is Joel Embiid. He is 76ers. He's currently averaging 33 points per game. Coming in at number two, Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks. At number three, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. At number four, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And at number five, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. Next category is rebounds per game. At number one, Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging 12 rebounds per game. At number two, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets. At number three, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. Number four, Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves. At number five, Clint Capella from the Atlanta Hawks. Next category, assists per game. At number one, James Harden from the Philadelphia 76ers. He's averaging close to 11 assists per game. At number two, Tyrese Halliburton from the Indiana Pacers. At number three, from the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. At number four, Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks. And at number five, CP3, Chris Paul. Next category, steals per game. At number one, OG Anunoby from the Toronto Raptors. He's averaging close to two steals a game. At number two, Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat. At number three, Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. At number four, De'Anthony Melton from the Philadelphia 76ers. And at number five, representing the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Next category is blocks per game. At number one, from the Memphis Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's averaging three blocks per game. At number two, Nick Claxton from the Brooklyn Nets. At number three, Brooke Lopez from the Milwaukee Bucks. At number four, Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz. And at number five, Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers. Next category, field goal percentage. At number one, from the Utah Jazz, Walker Kessler. He's shooting 72% from the field. At number two, Nick Claxton from the Brooklyn Nets. Number three, Mason Plumlee from the Los Angeles Clippers. At number four, Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And at number five, Clint Capella from the Atlanta Hawks. Next category, three-point field goals made. Number one, representing the Golden State Warriors, one of the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson. At number two, Buddy Hield from the Indiana Pacers. At number three, the other Splash Brother from the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry. At number four, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers. And at number five, Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. Next category is three-point percentage. Coming in at number one, Luke Kennard from the Memphis Grizzlies, 49% from three-point range. At number two, Al Horford from the Boston Celtics. At number three, Damian Lee from the Phoenix Suns. At number four, Malcolm Brogdon from the Boston Celtics. And at number five, Gary Harris from the Orlando Magic. Next category, free throw percentage. At number one, Tyler Hero from the Miami Heat. He's shooting 93% from the free throw line. Coming in at number two, Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns. He's shooting 92% from the free throw line. At number three, Trey Murphy from the New Orleans Pelicans. At number four, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers. And at number five, Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. And the last category is minutes played. At number one, Pascal Siakam from the Toronto Raptors. He's currently playing 37.5 minutes per game. At number two, Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. And tied for third place, we have a three-way tie for third place. James Harden from the Philadelphia 76ers, Kyrie Irving from the Dallas Mavericks, and Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. And those are your current league leaders in the association. Let's move along now to the current standings. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. The current number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks. They have a record of 55-22. Coming in the number two seed are the Boston Celtics. They have a record of 54-24. Coming in the third seed are the Philadelphia 76ers with a record of 51-26. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are currently the fourth seed. They have a record of 48-30. So the four teams that I mentioned, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, and Cleveland, have all clinched playoff spots. Let's continue. Currently in the fifth seed, the New York Knicks. They have a record of 45-33. The Brooklyn Nets are currently sixth with a record of the Miami Heat are in seventh place with a record of 40-37. And the Atlanta Hawks are currently in the eighth seed with a record of 38-39. So if the playoffs started today, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn would all be automatically in the playoffs. Remember, seeds 1-6 are automatic bids into the playoffs. So again, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn would all be automatically in the playoffs. Remember, seeds 1-6 are automatically in the playoffs. Let's continue. So Miami, as I mentioned earlier, the Miami Heat are currently the seventh seed. Their record is 40-37. The Atlanta Hawks are the eighth seed with a record of 38-39. The Toronto Raptors are currently ninth with a record of 38-39. And the Chicago Bulls are the 10th seed with a record of 37-40. Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago would all be in the play-in tournament. Remember, to qualify for the play-in tournament, seed 7-10 automatically get in. Remember, seed 7-10 are automatically in the play-in tournament. So Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago would all be in. Let's continue. Currently, the 11th seed are the Washington Wizards with a record of 34-43. Coming in 12th are the Indiana Pacers with a record of 34-44. And the Orlando Magic are 13th with a record of 33-44. Followed by in 14th are the Charlotte Hornets, and dead last in the Eastern Conference are the Detroit Pistons. Let's move over now to the Western Conference, where it is never a dull moment. Currently the number one seed, the Denver Nuggets. They have a record of 51-26. Currently the second seed are the Memphis Grizzlies with a record of 49-28, 47-30. The fourth seed belongs to the Phoenix Suns. They have a record of 42-35. The fifth seed belongs to the Los Angeles Clippers. Their record is 41-37. And the Golden State Warriors are in the sixth seed. They also have a record of 41-37. So if the playoffs started today, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, LA Clippers, and Golden State would all be in. Again, as I stated earlier, seeds 1-6 automatically qualify for the playoffs. So again, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, LA Clippers, and Golden State would all be automatically in the playoffs because they represent seeds 1-6. And also, too, a little side note to pass along, Denver, Memphis, and Sac continue. Currently, the seventh seed belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers with a record of 39-38. The eighth seed currently belongs to the New Orleans Pelicans. They have a record of 39-38. The ninth seed belongs to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have a record of 39-39. And the 10th seed belongs to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have a record of 38-40. So if the play-in tournament started today, LA Lakers, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City would all get in. Remember, to qualify for the play-in tournament, seeds 7-10 get in. So again, LA Lakers, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City would all get in. Let's continue. Currently in 11th are the Dallas Mavericks with a record of 37-40. The Utah Jazz, are 12th with a record of 36-41. Coming in 13th are the Portland Trailblazers, followed by in 14th place are the San Antonio Spurs, and dead last in the Western Conference are the Houston Rockets. So with that being said, fighting hard, teams are scrapping. They're doing whatever it takes to get the job done because the regular season is winding down and the play-in tournament is fast approaching. So teams are hungry. Teams are vicious. Teams are playing with a sense of urgency. They're trying to lock up higher playoff seeds or possibly try to punch their ticket into the play-in tournament. So definitely we are winding down in the NBA regular season. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Gabriel Faria. Gabriel is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. The podcast covers the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers from a Brazilian perspective. We discuss what's currently happening with the Cavaliers. Also, we discuss Donovan Mitchell, the outlook going forward for Cleveland in the Eastern Conference, the possibility of the Cavaliers making a run to play in the NBA Finals. We also discuss the popularity of NBA basketball in Brazil and more. Gabriel is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Raising Cane's founder, Todd Graves, is interviewing game changers to find their secret of success.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
Secret Sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E.
Donovan Mitchell. Oakland with the dunk. This is Garland against Trey. Inside Mobley. Capella can't stop that one.
Oh, my.
Donovan. Nice wraparound pass finds Evan Mobley, the 7-footer. Mobley against Capella. Controls the dribble. Goes to the hook and puts it in. Mitchell. Look at that move. Missed the dunk. All the way out top. Now back into Mobley. And he'll lay it home.
LeVert,
who's so active defensively. Garland going up and in. Garland goes off the glass again. On the cut, Garland. Garland scores off the glass.
Beanham and Fan.
Open lane. Garland lay in. Ricky Rubio. On the handoff. Garland. Up and in. Boy, he is a talented scorer. Garland. Step back three. Garland gets it up and in.
The Cavaliers once again, a lot of high percentage shots. In fact, all 14 of the Cavs tried to come in the paint until then as Donovan Mitchell snaps a 9-0 Hawks run. As Mitchell, a gorgeous move. He works down the lane.
As soon as you touch him, he's going to flail. Give back. Nice move inside. Back to the left hand.
Mitchell, Euro steps down the lane. Puts it up and in as Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell comes and gets it. Throw to find Hunter. Twirls on Hunter to the basket. Oh, my! Donovan Mitchell with a ferocious throwdown here in Atlanta. Mitchell weaves his way down the lane and gets the roll.
It's set there on the rim. Which way are you going to go? I'm going back in. I'm back up. And then he always can get to that hoop.
Mitchell for the lead.
Yes. That's what it's taking.
Mitchell again. He knocks it down.
Go ahead, Donovan. Shoot him.
Mitchell is watched by Murray. Pulls up. He knocks it down. Donovan Mitchell, I think, caught Murray by surprise as he launched over the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of United States broadcasters Bally Sports Ohio and Bally Sports South. That was highlights from the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Atlanta Hawks game from March the 28th of 2023. And that was Cleveland stars Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and of course, Donovan Mitchell himself electrifying the crowd in Atlanta with the Cavaliers and the Hawks. And certainly the Cleveland Cavaliers have been one of the surprises of this 2022-2023 NBA season. To talk more about the Cavaliers, and also talk about the presence of NBA basketball in Brazil, we want to welcome this gentleman to the program. He is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast, which gives you all your NBA news, specifically all of your Cleveland Cavaliers news from a Brazilian perspective, hailing from the Cidade Maravilhosa, or the marvelous city of Rio de Janeiro. Let's welcome him to the program, Gabriel Faria. Gabriel, welcome to the program, my man.
Hi, Ed. I'm really happy to be here to talk a little about the Cleveland Cavaliers, about my perspective here from Brazil. I'm sorry if I misunderstood some words. I speak English, but not so well, so I'll try to do my best here. But thanks again for the inviting, and I'm really happy to be here.
You're welcome anytime, and your English is just fine. And thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. There's some impact players that I would like to discuss dealing with the Cavaliers. I want to start off with talking about Caris LeVert. What a season that he's had this year. He battled some injuries during his time as a member of the Brooklyn Nets, but now that he's been with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's really made a mark on that team. Give me your thoughts on Caris's play this season.
Yeah, I mean, Caris has been so great in the last month, right? I mean, we got him on a trade last year so he could help Garland a little because we needed another scorer, right, a secondary scorer, because we had Rubio, but Rubio got hurt, so we got Caris to help Garland, right? At the time, we didn't have Mitchell. So LeVert got here, but as you said, he was dealing with some injuries and he wasn't able to perform as well as he could. But this season, especially in the last month and a half, I think he has been so great in both ends of the floor. And I think that's something that we have to talk because his defense has been so great all season long, right? I think he has been playing the best defense he has ever played. So, and on the offensive end of the floor, and as I said in this last month, he has been efficient and he has been scoring important baskets for the Cavs and carries a fundamental piece coming from the bench, right? Because the Cavs really need solid pieces coming from the bench. And Caris has been this guy for the Cavs, so he has been great. And I'm happy for him because you can see that he works so hard every time, every workout he's there. So Caris deserves it, and I think he will be very important for us watching the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy for him too, Gabriel, considering what he's been through and what a difference he's made during his short time in Cleveland. I want to talk now just about Jared Allen. Jared Allen has been one of my favorite players in the NBA for quite a while now. He's someone that gets points in the paint, but he's primarily known as someone that's a defender and a rebounder. Thoughts on Jarrett's play during this season?
Yeah, I mean, Jarrett's the guy that gets a little bit overlooked sometimes, right, because you have so other many great players. But Jarrett, it's so important for this team to work, right? The Cavs having the best defensive rating, right, in the NBA. And if we didn't have Jarrett, that would be not possible, right? Because he's a tower, right? We call it Tower City because of him and Ivan. But, I mean, he's amazing, right? Jarrett can block shots. He can steal the ball, too. He's a great rim protector. And on the offensive end, he does what he has to do, right? He put on some screens for the guards. He is able to finish alley-oops. And sometimes he even has a mid-range shot that is great to see, that when he shot it, it goes in. So Jarrett is a great player. He's a great person, too. We can see that from here, from Brazil, we can see how Jarrett is loved for everybody in the NBA, and especially for the fans of Cleveland, right, and the organization as well. So Jarrett is an amazing guy. I think he should be getting more talk to the DPOY, right, the Defensive Player of the Year, because he has been so great. But I understand that with him having to play together with Mobley, right, sometimes the Defensive Player of the Year goes to a player that is alone the best player on defense, right? And in the Cavs' case, we have two guys that are amazing. So Jarrett is essential for this team, Ed.
Rightfully so. And I definitely agree with you, Gabriel. I think Jarrett Allen should definitely get some strong consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. He's definitely one of those guys that works hard and does the dirty work for his team. And somebody else that does the dirty work for the Cleveland Cavaliers is Evan Mobley. Man, what a jump he's made in his second year in the association. Again, similar to Jarrett Allen, he's someone that does the dirty work, get points in the paint, but also there for defense and rebounding as well. Give me your thoughts on Evan and his play this season.
Yeah, I mean, Evan's my favorite player on the team, right? I love all of them, but Evan's my favorite. I have a jersey of him here at home. And I love his game, right? Since day one, I think that he's been so great. And he can do many, many things on the floor, right? On the court. He can block shots as no one in the Cavs team, right? Because, okay, you have Allen, but the Mobley blocks are so amazing. And on the offensive end, too, he has been getting so much better, right? Obviously, he really sees the opportunity to play with two playmakers, amazing playmakers like Garland and also Rubio coming off the bench. So Mobley got this chance and used it right. But on one-to-one offensive too, right? Because really, after the All-Star game, Evan started to be more involved in the offensive end on the floor. So, yes, he does do the rework, as you said, and he's amazing at it. That's why he is on the top speed DPOY run at this moment. And again, the Cavs have the best defense of the association, so it's amazing. But he has been playing so well in the offensive end of the floor, too. I think that in the future, he can be the best player on this team, right? So Evan is a guy that is amazing. He plays basketball the right way, the winning way, you know. So I'm a huge fan of him, and I think that he can be he already is one of the best defenders in the NBA, and I think in the future he will be one of the best players in the NBA too.
I believe so as well, Gabriel. I think just he's going to be one of the best, not just big men, but one of the best players just in due time, improving, continuing to improve his shooting and expanding his range. And someone that has the potential to not only be one of the best point guards in the league, but one of the best players in the league, and that's Darius Garland. What a season that he's having this year, and he has become a rising star for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Give me your thoughts on Darius and his play this season.
Yeah, I mean, Darius, he's another player that is amazing, right? We talk about a lot of players, and we see how this team is so good. And, I mean, last year he had a phenomenal season, like he was an all-star, and this season he wasn't. But I think that it says more about the other players, right, that went amazing than, of, I mean, a downgrade of Garland, because that didn't happen, right? Because Darius has been amazing, and he had to face a new challenge, right? Because last year the backcourt was for him. He was the guy that mostly had the ball in all the possessions. And this season we got a guy that has to have the ball too, right? But I mean, Darius has adapted so well to playing with Donovan in the backcourt, and I think that he's amazing, right? He's a great shooter. He has a high percentage 3-point shooter, and I mean, his playmaking is amazing. I think that he's in top 5 or top 6 in assists per game this season, and he was last year too. He averaged almost 8 for a game, and that's a lot. And I think that Garland plays is another player of this Cavs team that plays the game the right way, right? So Garland is amazing. He's so young right now. And I think that it's great to see a player that the Cavs drafted that had some trouble because of injury, right, in college and in the first season in the NBA, becoming one of the, as you said, one of the most promising players in the NBA, one of the best point guards in the league. I think that Darius is amazing, and he's another guy that is fundamental for this team to work.
Indeed, he is one of the rising stars in the league, and he definitely has the potential, as you said, Gabriel, to be one of the best point guards in the NBA. And speaking of someone that is an impact player times 10, someone that has made his mark in Cleveland in an immediate impact, and that's Donovan Mitchell. In his first year with the Cavaliers, man, he has come out of nowhere and has really taken this team to a whole nother level. Give me your thoughts on Donovan in this play this season.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan, he's amazing, right? You see the games and you think, God, thanks that the Cavs traded for this player, right? And when the trade happened, some people thought that the Cavs gave too much. But I think, yeah, the Cavs really gave many things. But I think that when you got a superstar like Donovan Mitchell, because for me, he was already a superstar in Utah, you have to give a lot. And that's normal. And it was the right move, in my opinion, for the Cavs. And that's why you said, I mean, Donovan put the team on a whole another level. And he had some great moments right in the season, the 71-point game against Chicago. And this is a game that we heard a little bit of the highlights against the Hawks. He had some amazing plays, another 40-point game. He already tied the record of 40-point games in a season for the Cavs, right? I think it was LeBron in 2008 that also had 10 40-point games, and Donovan has already that. So it's amazing how he can do anything on the floor, right? His offense game is amazing. I think he's one of the best players in the NBA on the offensive end of the floor. He can dunk. He can infiltrate, penetrate so well. He can shoot threes, right, amazingly well. And he can go for the mid-range, too, with his little step back that every time he does, it goes in. And another thing that many people don't talk about, because obviously it gets a little bit obfuscated, but I think that Donovan's game on the defense is also something that we have to talk about. Because I think that many people were talking that, especially in the playoffs, right, with the Jazz, he wasn't a good defender, right? And I think that this is totally different in Cleveland. He has been worked so hard on the defensive end too. He has games where he has 4 steals, right? And he has been great on both ends of the floor. And if the Cavs are a top 4 seed in the East, that's because of Donovan Mitchell. I think there was a really good core before him, but without him, this team wouldn't be so good as it is right now. So Donovan's a great player. He is amazing. I think that he will be an All-NBA player this season. I just don't know if it will be on the first or the second team. And he was an All-Star starter too. So I think that it speaks for itself. I mean, he's an amazing player, and the Cavs are really happy to have him. I'm sure of that.
Oh, yeah. The Cavaliers are definitely happy to have him, Gabriel, and the city of Cleveland has embraced Donovan with open arms. I want to stay just with Donovan for a moment. You mentioned him, the possibility of him, you see him making an all-NBA team this year. You're not sure if he'll be all-NBA first or second team. What we know for sure is that most likely the MVP race will come down to either Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid. But I have to ask you, Donovan, with this amazing season that he has had, where do you see him finishing in the MVP race this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you said it correctly. It will go down to Embiid against Jokic, and it's an amazing race. And I think that there are another two guys that will make the top four, right? I think the third one will be Giannis. He deserves it. The Bucks, for me, are the best team in the NBA. And Jason Tatum with the Boston Celtics had a great season too. So I think that Jason Tatum will be the fourth one. And I think that after that, you can make a case for Donovan, right? I think that there are the guys that you can put in front of him, right? I mean, from the top of my head, you have Luka Doncic, for example. That is a guy that the Mavericks aren't being so good, but his numbers are just, you see his numbers. I think he has the most points per game in the NBA. He's amazing, and he's a guy that can be on there. But I think that Donovan has to be in the top 10, right, at the final results, because he has made a season with some downs, but his ups are so much better than the downs, you know. And I think that, as I said, the Cavs are a top team in the East and a top 16 in the NBA, right, all around. So I think that you have to have a guy from when you have the best player of this team, you have to have him at the top 10. And I think after that top four, you can make a case for Donovan being 5, 6, 7. But I think he has to be there in the top 10.
And certainly with this season that Donovan has had, he definitely should have some strong considerations. Going to be tough when you're going up against two guys that have just had monster seasons with the likes of Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets and Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers. It's going to be tough, but you have to put Donovan's name in the mix for this year's MVP. And speaking of being in the mix, J.B. Bickerstaff has done a great job as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, being in the mix of things, and not only with a talent like Donovan Mitchell, but also with the other core around him, with the likes of the names we mentioned earlier, with Jared Allen and Caris LeVert and Evan Mobley and also Darius Garland. Give me your thoughts on Coach Bickerstaff's season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that JB is an amazing coach, right? And what he has done with this Cavs team is amazing. And I think that he has a lot of good things, right? I mean, this defense, as I already said, being the top one defense on the NBA is amazing, and it's something that we own him to, right? Because you have the players, but you have to have a system to make it work. And that's on JB. He's an amazing defensive coach. I think that the thing that I most appreciate about JB is that when he came to Cleveland, right, after LeBron was gone, the Cavs didn't have a culture, you know. I mean, I think that when we saw the games, we saw players that didn't know what they were playing for, you know. And when JB came 3 seasons ago, I think that he changed that. He made the players have something to play for. And you can see, right, how the organization loves him. The players are always saying how they appreciate JB. And I think that the best thing about JB's work in these Cleveland years, right, these 3 years with the Cavs, is that culture, because he really changed the perspective of things about how Cleveland were, you know. We were a franchise that were in a bad moment, and after JB came, we had still a year a little bit down in wins, but you had the feeling that it was better than what was happening. And next season, this season, you see that the guys play with energy, right? They love each other, and that's really on the head coach, right? The head coach has to do that with his team. So it's amazing. I think JB is a great coach. The Cavs signed an extension of contract with him, last season, so he'll be there with Cleveland for a long time. And I think it's really fair because JB has an incredible job, and I'm really curious to see how he will work in the playoffs too. That's a question for the whole Cavs team, but I think that JB is a great coach, and he will work in Cleveland for many more years.
Let's hope so too, Gabriel, because he's definitely got the right core. He's got a young core, great talent, and it can only go up from here. And I want to stay just with talking about Coach Bickerstaff for a moment. So we've mentioned his name, and Cleveland has been one of the surprise teams of this NBA season. The Coach of the Year Award, there are a lot of deserving coaches out there that can take this award. Anybody can win this award. You've got Mike Brown from the Sacramento Kings. You've got Michael Malone from the Denver Nuggets. You also have Joe Mazzulla from the Boston Celtics. You could also put Mike Budenholzer, also Tyronn Lue from the Los Angeles Clippers, and Doc Rivers from the Philadelphia 76ers. Where do you see Coach Bickerstaff in the race to win Coach of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that all the guys that you mentioned are doing amazing jobs. Right? I think that for this season, Coach of the Year, JB last year went in top five, I think. And I think that if the Cavs weren't dealing with injuries that made them go down in the standings, right? I think if the Cavs were a top five team in the East, JB would have won last year because no one expected nothing from the Cavs last year, right? This season, I think they overpassed their expectations, mostly for most of the people, but their expectations were better. So I think that this takes down a little bit of the case for JB winning the Coach of the Year. And because I think that this year's race has a clear favorite, that is Mike Brown with the Sacramento Kings. Besides his amazing job, right, if you see in the basketball court, I mean, the Kings team is amazing and he deserves it only for that. But the narrative for Mike Brown is so amazing, right, that he was a coach that had some troubles, then went to an amazing assistant coach, right, that turned into an amazing assistant coach in one of the best teams in the history of the basketball of the NBA. And he came back to be a coach and did this amazing job with the Kings. I think he will win it and he will earn it. But after that, I think, as I said with Mitchell, you can make a case for JB, right? Because I think it's an amazing job. Many people thought that the Cavs would be fighting for, I mean, the sixth seed against Atlanta or Toronto or Chicago. But behind, I mean, the Miami Heat and the other four teams in the East. And the Cavs exceeded that, right? They are, for the whole year, they have been a top five, top four team in the East. So I think that JB has a case to be in the top five for sure. But I think that Mike Brown will win it because he did an amazing job all around with this Kings team.
Indeed, he has done a great job, Gabriel. And certainly, let's hope that I hope at least, I know you hope as well, that head coach JB Bickerstaff gets strong consideration for the Coach of the Year award as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Cleveland, with this surprise season that they've had this year, I want to ask you about the outlook going forward for Cleveland in the Eastern Conference and possibly the NBA Finals. In the Eastern Conference, you have Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia. You also have New York and Brooklyn. And you also mentioned Miami as well as Atlanta and Chicago and Toronto. How do you see Cleveland holding up in the Eastern Conference going forward? And do you see them possibly making a run to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cavs don't have the urgency that some other teams have, right? I mean, for example, the Sixers. Joel Embiid has to do a deep run in the playoffs, right, this year. He has to do it. James Harden has to do it. The Boston Celtics are with a bigger urgency too, right? They lost last year finals. They want to win right now. So I think that the Cavs, I mean, the Miami Heat also, I mean, I think that's the team that has a little bit of urgency besides the Cavs, you know. So I understand that the Cavs doesn't have to win it now because the core is so young, the team is so young, And most of the players will play their first playoff series, the first playoff game, right, in this playoffs. We have, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, who has many seasons in the playoffs. We have Ricky Rubio, a veteran. Now we added Danny Green. That is another guy that can help in the playoffs. But, I mean, for Mobley, for Garland, for Okoro, this will be the first game in the playoffs. So I think that this might, I don't know, it can be difficult for the Cavs because of the lack of experience, you know. But at the same time, I do think that there is no team in the East that wants to face the Cavs in the playoffs because they've shown all season long that they are so hard to beat, you know. I mean, it's really tough to play against the Cavs. Playing Cleveland, the atmosphere with the fans in Cleveland is something amazing. We have to see that again in playoffs, right? It will be so amazing. And I think that none team wants to face the Cavs. So that's it. I think that the Cavs can beat anyone in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it will be a tough series for anyone that plays against the Cavs. But if they got eliminated in the first round, for example, because, I mean, if they face the Knicks or the Heat or the Nets, it would be a tough series for both teams, you understand? So I think that it won't be a ruined season if we lost in the first round. But I do think that the Cavs might go into the Eastern Conference Finals. And if they go into the conference finals, who says that they can go to the finals, right? So, I mean, they are really young, and I think that this year the most important thing is to get experience, right, and learn from your mistakes in the playoffs. But, of course, if you go winning and winning and winning and get in the conference finals, why not try to go to the finals? So I think that's it. The Cavs can do anything in the playoffs, right? And I think that anything they achieve will be great for the season. And it will help in the next year, where I think that team will be better. It will be more experienced with players that will be more mature. And then I think that next year we'll maybe put the Cavs as a favorite for winning the championship, right? This year I think they are contenders, but I think we'll not put them in the top three favorites to win the championship. I think that with learning from the mistakes of these years, we will be able to put the Cavs in a top five race for the championship next year.
Yeah, definitely the Cavaliers going forward, they definitely have all of the right tools and they definitely have the right core and they have the right makeup and they've got the right coach to make things happen, to get them, to propel them, put them at the top of not just the Eastern Conference, but in all of the NBA. So definitely it's a tough task, not just in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA as a whole. But going forward, they definitely have the tools to make it happen. And, you know, Gabriel, Brazilian players have been making it happen in the NBA for quite a while now. Brazil has blessed the NBA with some great players, with the likes of Leandro Barbosa, also Fab Melo, Nene, also Anderson Varejão, who used to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you can also put Raul Neto and also Thiago Splitter. How have Brazilians responded to NBA basketball? We know that the sport in Brazil is soccer, or football for that matter. But I wanted to ask you, what is the NBA's presence like in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with these years and I mean, the technology and the communication, it has everything to grow every year matter. So how can I say it? For example, I live in Rio, right? And I think that last month, the NBA opened a huge store here with a whole court for people who want to play there. You have to pay to play, but it's amazing. It's beautiful and with products for most of the teams, right? And I think that social media really helps that too. Because here in Brazil, as you said, I mean, soccer is or football, as you said, thank you. Is the first sport. And many people, for me, basketball sometimes is number one. But for many people, basketball is not even number two, right? Basketball in general, as I say. But I think that we have seen with the that right now there are a lot of transmissions here in Brazilian TV too of the NBA, even in the open TV, right, that is for free for anyone who can see it. And I think that this helps the NBA to grow here. I think we still have to do a lot to grow the sport as the whole sport, as I'm trying to make understand, because I think that the NBA, especially social media, right, in Twitter, mostly we have many people that watch NBA, that comment about NBA, that buy products about NBA. But I mean, about, for example, we have here our league, right, the NBB, that is the national, I can say that is the National Brazilian League of Basketball. And sometimes there is a lack of investment, you know, and these things of big companies trying to help the sport to grow here in Brazil. I think that we still have much to do about that. But in regards of the NBA, as you said, these players, right? And I'm happy because the Cavs is a team that really has a connection with Brazil, right? As I said, Anderson Varejão played here during 11 years, right? And now he works in the Cavaliers Association. And right now we have Raul Neto. We also have Didi Lousada that is playing on the G League team, right? The Canton Charge. And I think that the NBA is growing here in Brazil. And I hope that with this growing of the NBA, we can grow the whole basketball sport here now in my country. So I really hope that it will be possible, but that's it. I think that NBA has been growing so much in these years. We have an event in São Paulo that is next to Rio for the NBA Finals, where we already have these events for some years, right? That is the NBA House, where people get together to see the finals, and there is some things about the players, and you can take pictures with that. And it's amazing. I think that the NBA still has a lot to do in Brazil, but they are doing, and it's amazing. And I think that it helps to grow basketball as a total in my country too.
Dave, just with the growth of NBA basketball in Brazil, the 2016 Summer Olympics took place in Rio de Janeiro. And, of course, there was an NBA presence in Rio because USA Olympic basketball would go on to win another gold medal in Rio. Some of the top superstars that were on the American team were the likes of Kevin Durant, also Draymond Green, just to name a few. What was the presence like in Rio when the Olympics had taken place and also USA basketball being present in Rio de Janeiro for the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, you remember a great stat because besides that, besides the team, the players being here, I remember that there was a place in the center of the town, right, that they constructed a little place of the NBA where you could go into, and you could take a picture with the Larry O'Brien, right, with the trophy. And I think I was young that time. I think I was 12, 13 years old, and I went there. I stayed at a line for a long time and took a picture with the Larry O'Brien. It was a great moment. I was starting to watch the NBA, but I can say to you that it was amazing. I saw the games from the TV because I wasn't able to buy at the time the tickets for see the Team USA on courts personally. But it was amazing, you know, and it helped too, for sure. I remember that I think 2 years before that, the Cavs have played a game here in Brazil, in Rio, against the Heat, right after LeBron come back. And these games that the NBA does around the world, right, we hadn't have him in Brazil after that, but we have some in London, I think in Mexico, in Paris, in France, right? And it was amazing. It was an amazing feeling. And as you said, that team was amazing, right? With so many stars and playing in a so high level. And it was amazing to see that team play here in our town.
And certainly NBA basketball, or just basketball in general, has really captured the hearts of many people around the world. And speaking of capturing hearts around the world, Kobe Bryant, when we talk about basketball players that have had such an immediate impact on the world, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant, What did Kobe Bryant mean to you as a basketball fan in Brazil? And what did he mean not just to you, Gabriel, but to basketball fans in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can talk about, because for me personally, I know that you asked about Kobe, but for me personally, the biggest figure that made I love basketball was LeBron. But I can really tell, and as I said, we talk with a lot of people in social media, right, that love basketball, that started watching basketball before me. And Kobe is a great image for everyone, right? I mean, there are some fan pages that are dedicated only to Kobe. And Kobe, this thing that you have in the United States, right, where we are playing basketball on the street, and you go to a jump shot in the fadeaway and you yell Kobe, we do it in Brazil too. And so you can see how representative he is. And I remember on the day that the news had come here of his death, that many people were suffering here from Brazil, right? Across the ocean, there were many people here that were surfing, because he was a legend for many people here. And I think that's the beauty of the game, right? That's the beauty of basketball. There are so many guys that can make you see the world from another perspective just by being a basketball player and being in other country, right? So it's amazing. And you asked about Kobe. He is really loved by many people here in Brazil, as is Michael Jordan, as is LeBron, as is many other players. But Kobe was really important for many people that right now root for the Lakers, you know. And I'm sure of that, because I see in social media, I have a friend that loves the Lakers and loves Kobe too. So he is an idol for many people here in Brazil.
Yeah, definitely. Rest in peace to the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, someone that was inspirational to a lot of people, not just in Brazil, but all over the world. And one last question about the presence of basketball in Brazil. Brazil is known for many things. Brazil is known for the carnival. They're known for the food. And they're known for, of course, as I mentioned earlier, their love of soccer or football, for that matter. And in Brazil, we see that there are a lot of schools and a lot of academies that are dedicated to helping the next generation of football stars achieve their dreams. Are there academies set up, Gabriel, in terms of helping young people or just people in general develop skills? Are there any basketball camps or maybe the school systems in Brazil that are paying more attention to the sport of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, as I said when we were talking about the NBA here in Brazil, I think that we still have a long path to walk in to really successfully play basketball here in Brazil, in the meaning of U.S. Right, there is many camps of soccer here, right? Many, many, many. It's not countless. But from basketball, we have little, you know, we have some social projects that are amazing that do it with basketball. We also have the, right now, that's something really great that the NBA brought here, that is the NBA school, that many children are in the NBA school trying to learn to play basketball. But I think we have some people that love basketball right here, right? Like in the whole world, we have some. In Brazil, we also have. But it's tough to, and I can say that for you. I had school in a really good school, right? I studied in a really good school, and you had the gym, and you could play basketball, but the most attentions were to soccer and even to volleyball. That is a huge sport in Brazil too, and I mean there are countless public schools that doesn't have the resources that my school had, for example. And at that school, I mean, it's even harder to imagine that basketball is something that they incentivize right there. So I think that is a long path to go in this meaning. But I believe that with the NBA, with the more Brazilian players coming, we hope that, for example, the Raul Neto experience in Cleveland, stays for a long time, because this helps too, as we were talking about the inspiration, right? Having Brazilian representatives in the sport really helps in our country, right? And I think that when we have a great basketball player that is from Brazil in the NBA, this will help too. But answering your question, I think that no, that there isn't so many as in soccer. Besides having some, I think that we still have a long way to go to really construct a really good basis for the children, people enjoying playing basketball here in Brazil. You know, we really need more investment from the government and things. But that's a deeper matter. But I think that's it. We still have some paths to grow our national basketball.
All right. And you mentioned that you've been a Cleveland Cavaliers fan for a long time, and you also mentioned the Los Angeles Lakers, one of your friends being a fan of the Lakers, you know, thanks in part to Kobe Bryant. But Brazilian NBA fans, what are the teams that – what are the popular teams that fans in Brazil like when it comes to the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have a really good amount of fans that really love the Chicago Bulls, right? Because the NBA started to get transmitted here in Brazil in the 90s. So many people saw the Jordan dynasty. So many people root for the Chicago Bulls. My father is an example of a person that doesn't follow basketball so much. But when I ask him what team he roots for, he says the Chicago Bulls because of Michael Jordan. And during this century, right, we have, as I said, the Los Angeles Lakers that is really huge in Brazil. The Celtics, too, are a team that has a lot of fans. And I think the own Cavs and Heat, because of LeBron, right, they have a lot of fans. And recently, this team that I think that it was engaging more fans in basketball in the NBA was the Golden State Warriors. So you can see a line where many people started to watch that team was good, so they started rooting for them. So I think I could say the Bulls, the Lakers, the Cavs, the Heat, the Warriors. There are many people that root for the Suns too. That's curious, but the Phoenix Suns is a beloved team here in Brazil. So that's it. I think that there are fans from every team here. You can see at the social media that there will be a fan page like ours for any team. But the teams with most fans would be these I told you.
All right. And then, man, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And you heard it from him. He is Gabriel Faria. He is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. And Gabriel, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody what the Cavaliers Brazil podcast is all about and how did it get started?
Yeah, I mean, my partner that wasn't able to be here, her name is Evelyn, and she is in the project since 2018. And she was there before me, and then after that, she called me and I got into the project too. And we are a fan page of the Cavs, right, that tries to bring all the news of the Cleveland Cavaliers for the fans in Brazil. And we have a page on Twitter that is Cavaliers Brazil, but it's with an S, not with a Z, right? It's Brazil in the way that we write here in Brazil. And on the Instagram, too, it's Cavaliers Brazil. And our podcast, we love to do it. And you can hear in any platform you find it, any your favorite audio platform, you find our podcast, Cavaliers Brazil. And we try to find teams that will be interesting for people to hear. And we really love to do it. Right now, it's only me and Evelyn, and we are really happy with our project. We are almost beating 11K followers on the Twitter. So we are really happy, and I have to thank you too, Ed, for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here talking with another language that I like to practice. So I'm really happy to be here, and I really appreciate the invite.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you as well for that wonderful greeting. Thank you so much again. And Gabriel, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. Any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, so again, our project has accounts on Twitter and Instagram, Cavaliers Brazil, if you look for it, you'll find it. And you can look for in any platform. We mostly use Spotify, but you can look in any audio platform. I mean, Apple Music or any other one that you use. Cavaliers Brazil, you'll find us, and we will be really happy if you follow us and give us some help, because we really love the project we do, and we do it with many love for our fans.
All right, and I have to ask you a two-part question before I let you go. Number one, can you describe what Carnival is like in Rio de Janeiro? And number two, can you explain to the listeners what a caipirinha is?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Carnival is, for many people, is the best holiday that is here, right? It's like a week of parties on the streets, right, where people can do whatever they want legally. And there's something that is in Rio that is so amazing that I don't know how I can say, but there are institutions that Escola de Samba in Portuguese, that they go into, how can I say? These agremiations, they do a parade, right? Like something like that. And they compete for a title. And it's so amazing because you have many fantasies and many people work only for that the whole year. And when the carnival ends, they start to prepare for the next year. So that's it. If you haven't come to Rio to live a carnival here, you have to come because it's an experience that you have to live. And caipirinha is a drink, right? Where you have, the name is cachaça. That is a Brazilian drink, alcoholic drink that is native from Brazil. And you mix a little bit of cachaça with some lemon. And that's it. It's really simple, but people really enjoy it. When people come here, they look, I mean, amazingly right, with caipirinha. But it's really simple to do it. Anyone can do it. So that's it, I think. I don't know if I could explain well, but that's it. If you guys can come to Rio, come to Brazil one day, come because it's beautiful. I think that you like it.
All right. And you heard it from him. He is Gabriel Faria. He is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast, where the podcast gives you the news, information, and everything you need to know about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers from a Brazilian perspective. Gabriel, this was a lot of fun. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. This was a lot of fun. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you, Ed. I really appreciate it, and I hope to be back here.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Donovan Mitchell. Oakland with the dunk. This is Garland against Trey. Inside Mobley. Capella can't stop that one.
Oh, my.
Donovan. Nice wraparound pass. Finds Evan Mobley, the seven-footer. Mobley against Capella. Controls the dribble. Goes to the hook and puts it in. Mitchell. Look at that move. Missed the dunk. All the way out top. Now back into Mobley. And he'll lay it home. LeVert, who's so active defensively. Garland going up and in. Garland goes off the glass again. On the cut, Garland. Garland scores off the glass.
A Phenom and Fan.
Uh-oh. Open lane. Garland lay in. Ricky Rubio. On the handoff. Garland. Up and in. Well, he is a talented scorer. Garland. Step back three. Garland gets it up and in.
The Cavaliers once again. A lot of high percentage shots. In fact, all 14 of the Cavs get to come in the paint until then. As Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell snapped the 9-0 Hawks run. As Mitchell, a gorgeous move. He works down the lane.
As soon as you touch him, he's going to flail. Here's back. Nice move inside. Back to the left hand.
Mitchell, Eurostep down the lane. Puts it up and in as Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell comes and gets it. Certified Hunter. Twirls on Hunter to the basket. Oh, my! Donovan Mitchell with a ferocious throwdown here in Atlanta. Mitchell weaves his way down the lane and gets the roll.
It's set there on the rim. Which way are you going to go? I'm going back in. I'm back up. And then he always can get to that hoop.
Mitchell for the lead.
Yes. That's what it's taking.
Mitchell again. He knocks it down.
Go ahead, Donovan. Shoot him.
Mitchell is watched by Murray. Pulls up. He knocks it down. Donovan Mitchell, I think, caught Murray by surprise as he launched over the top.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh, he's so cute. How do you know him?
Come on, Donovan, do it like I taught you.
Love the new tattoo, Sarah.
Let's go!
Dude, that's Sarah. The girl in the pink shirt, that's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, that's Sarah?
Theater 2 on your left. Hey, Sarah. What color underwear today? Hey, Sarah. So when are you going to post something new?
Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends.
See you later, Sarah.
Even not so friendly people. Think before you post.
Welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Gabriel Faria, co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. The podcast covers the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers from a Brazilian perspective. Again, thank you so much to Gabriel for appearing on the program. All right, before we get on out of here, let's give you the schedule for the upcoming games in the NBA. Let's start off with games on Saturday, April the 1st. We've got the Dallas Mavericks going up against the Miami Heat, and we have the Los Angeles Clippers going up against the New Orleans Pelicans. This is going to be a big game down in the Crescent City. Of course, you know, New Orleans fighting for the spot to maintain their position in the play-in tournament. As for the Clippers, they've been going through a lot of changes, again, with the injury to Paul George. Kawhi Leonard's been playing well, but Russell Westbrook had some pretty good games the last several games for the Clippers, so that's going to be a big one down in the Crescent City between the Los Angeles Clippers and the New Orleans Pelicans. On Sunday, April the 2nd, we have the Toronto Raptors going up against the Charlotte Hornets, the Utah Jazz going up against the Brooklyn Nets. We've got the Portland Trail Blazers going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We have the Memphis Grizzlies squaring off against the Chicago Bulls. We also have the Detroit Pistons squaring off against the Orlando Magic, the San Antonio Spurs going up against the Sacramento Kings, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Atlanta Hawks. We got the Washington Wizards going up against the New York Knicks. We got the Los Angeles Lakers going up against the Houston Rockets. We got the Phoenix Suns versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have a game that could be the potential for an Eastern Conference Finals showdown this year between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Two big men continuing to do great things in their young NBA careers. Joel Embiid going up against Giannis Antetokounmpo. We got the Indiana Pacers going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we've got the Golden State Warriors versus the Denver Nuggets, which could possibly be a preview, maybe a preview of this year's Western Conference Finals. Then on Tuesday, April the 4th, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers going up against the Orlando Magic. Also, we have the Miami Heat versus the Detroit Pistons, the Toronto Raptors going up against the Charlotte Hornets, the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Washington Wizards, the Minnesota Timberwolves square off against the Brooklyn Nets, the Sacramento Kings square off against the New Orleans Pelicans, the Boston Celtics going up against the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, this may be a preview of this year's Eastern Conference Finals. Again, two MVP candidates, Jason Tatum going up against Joel Embiid. I mean, it's always fun when the Celtics and the 76ers, that rivalry has been strong for decades. Also, we have the Portland Trail Blazers going up against the Memphis Grizzlies, the Denver Nuggets going up against the Houston Rockets, the Atlanta Hawks squared off against the Chicago Bulls, the Los Angeles Lakers against the Utah Jazz. You've got the Oklahoma City Thunder going up against the Golden State Warriors. We've got the San Antonio Spurs squaring off against the Phoenix Suns. Wednesday, April the 5th, we have the New York Knicks going up against the Indiana Pacers. Wow. It was only yesterday when the Knicks and Pacers rivalry during the 90s and early 2000s, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Travis Best, Chuck Person. What can you say? Knicks-Pacers, man, that rivalry was something else. Also, we've got the Brooklyn Nets going up against the Detroit Pistons. We also have the Washington Wizards going up against the Atlanta Hawks. The Chicago Bulls will square off against the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got the Toronto Raptors versus the Boston Celtics. Got a big one down in New Orleans between the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, Memphis trying to get that top spot in the Western Conference, trying to take it away from Denver, while the Pelicans fight to maintain their position to be in the play-in tournament. Followed by the Sacramento Kings versus the Dallas Mavericks. And we have the Battle of Los Angeles as the L.A. Lakers go up against the L.A. Clippers. Thursday, April the 6th, we've got the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Orlando Magic. We've got the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Portland Trail Blazers going up against the San Antonio Spurs. We've got the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Utah Jazz. And then we have the Denver Nuggets going up against the Phoenix Suns, which could be a preview of this year's Western Conference Finals. Of course, the Nuggets with the leading MVP candidate, Nikola Jokic, also Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon and the crew, going up against the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and of course, CP3, the future Hall of Famer himself, Chris Paul. And then on Friday, April the 7th, we have the Miami Heat going up against the Washington Wizards, the Detroit Pistons square off against the Indiana Pacers, followed by the Houston Rockets going up against the Charlotte Hornets. We've got the Toronto Raptors versus the Boston Celtics. We've also got the Orlando Magic squaring off against the Brooklyn Nets. The Philadelphia 76ers square off against the Atlanta Hawks. We've got the New York Knicks going up against the New Orleans Pelicans, followed by the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got the Chicago Bulls going up against the Dallas Mavericks. We've got the Golden State Warriors versus the Sacramento Kings. And then we have the Phoenix Suns going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And those are your upcoming games in the association, the NBA. Well, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of At the Rim. Would like to send once again a big special thank you to Gabriel Faria. Gabriel is the co-host of the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. The podcast covers the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers from a Brazilian perspective. Again, thank you so much to him as well as his assistant Evelyn for allowing him to be on the program. Thank you to Gabriel and Evelyn from the Cavaliers Brazil podcast. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim. And before we're going to end the show by extending our thoughts and prayers to the victims of that terrible school shooting that happened during the week in Nashville, Tennessee.